Welcome to another episode of Love Everyone Equally. I'm your host, Delta, a.k.a. Mrs. Delightful.
I'm the co-host, Eugene, a.k.a. The Truth.
So thanks, everyone, for joining us for another episode. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about mental health, young people not wanting to work. I meant that back then. We touched on it a little bit. It wasn't a question, but I really wanted to talk about mental health because I think it is so vital now during this time in our society. And a lot of people are so, especially in our community, it is really a taboo, you know. I know for me, I've always feared having some type of mental breakdown because of it genetically running through my family. Mm-hmm. You know, my mother suffers from mental illness. My grandmother suffered from mental illness. My grandfather suffered from mental illness. I have uncles, I have aunts that suffered from mental illness as well as cousins.
You suffer from mental illness.
Yeah, I do. And you do too. You want to put me on blast. But no, that's okay. And I do. I have my own issues with the panic attacks and
anxiety
and the depression.
Yeah.
And being bipolar in a sense. I haven't clinically been diagnosed with it, but I know that there is something there because of my mood swings, you know. One minute I'm happy, sad, I'm all over the place. But I know that growing up, we never talked about that. We never talked about mental illness. And when someone in our family or someone that, like a friend, or we saw someone, you know, my grandmother or a relative would say, oh, yeah, they a little touch. And it's like, what is touch, you know? And I never quite understood it. I would look at my mom and I would just wonder what was going on in her head. And I would just want her to, I wanted her to snap out of it and just be my mom and just be there for me and to give me that motherly love. And, you know, I didn't get that. And then as I got older and I started having my bouts with my mental health, I didn't understand what was going on with me. I thought I was some type of freak. Like, why was I feeling this way?
Yeah.
Why was I so closed off? And why was I always sad? I mean, like, from 13 to 16 years old, I was in a real deep depression, you know? I mean, I hated going to school. I hated being around other kids. I would put on this fake facade that I was the class clown, but deep down inside, I really didn't like myself. And I didn't understand why I felt the way I felt. You know, I would just feel so unbalanced. And like, I felt like I never belonged. And I never understood why I felt that way and why I was going through the stuff that I was going through.
Do you think you was going through that because you had mental illness, or do you think you was going through that from what was truly the reason why you're going through that?
What was the reason why I was truly going through that?
You was truly going through that because your mother had mental illness. She didn't know who she was. So to be just honest, you're a part of her. So if she's confused and lost in this world of in her mind, you know what I'm saying? At least you lost.
Yeah.
And then not having your dad and not having, you know, ever knowing your dad. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's really depression, dude. Yeah. It's a struggle growing up to be you. Because you had a best friend that had both of her parents in her life. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Correct. And even like, you know, even like with my cousins, you know, some of them had terrible fathers, you know.
Yeah.
But they knew who their fathers were. They knew who their mothers were. For me, I felt like I never knew my father. And in a sense, I never knew my mother. I never knew her before she had her breakdown, you know. And I think for me, it was like, I look at it like it was a curse in a sense. Because I didn't know what... Why I didn't know who my dad was and why I didn't know who my mom was. And I carried that with me.
And that's probably a lot to carry.
Yeah. I think subconsciously I really carried that with me, not knowing that I was actually carrying it, you know. And it was a lot of stuff that I had buried as well. Like I subconsciously buried a lot of stuff. I buried a lot of sexual abuse. I buried a lot of abuse. And when I went to counseling, it started to come out. And I didn't even remember half of this stuff, you know. And it's just like,
when you went to counseling with who?
With Tracy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. We pulled out, she uncovered a lot of stuff. And it helped me a lot, you know what I'm saying? To understand why I felt the way I felt, you know, because I was always taught that you never cry, you know, you just keep everything inside and you just keep a stiff upper lip and you just push on, because, you know, my grandparents seem way worse with, you know, being from the South. And, you know, my grandmother witnessed her father being murdered. And I know that was traumatic for her, being a kid and loving her dad, being a daddy's girl. And, you know, the stories I heard, he was a very loving man. And then, you know, my grandfather being from a family that didn't want him because his father was African American and his mother was Native American. So when his mom died, you know, him and his brothers were looked upon as mutts in a sense, you know, mm-hmm. by her people. So, you know, and then his father pretty much abandoned them to go find work and take and do what he had to do. And it's just like it left. I know I'm getting off topic here.
You good.
But it left that stigma in a sense. And they carried that along with them and to the point of they became very angry or they was looking for love. And it was so dysfunctional because my grandfather was very angry and very abusive because of what he went through as a child. And then my grandmother was so...
But that's the reason why we used to get beatings mm-hmm. like we did, because they was very angry because mm-hmm. they felt like to go through what they went through, you know what I'm saying, or witness growing up. And when they was growing up, they had to behave. Because if they didn't behave, their life can be taken like this.
Yeah.
You know, Emmett Till is a great example of that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They couldn't go down the street, you know what I'm saying, and act a complete nut fool. You know what I'm saying? Because their parents wouldn't take it. Your great-grandparents wouldn't stand for that. They was very hard on them because they truly didn't feel free.
Mm-hmm.
They felt still entrapped. That's how we feel presently going to work every day. You mm-hmm. don't feel as free as you should feel in this society. You know what I'm saying? You mm-hmm. feel kind of trapped. And to witness what, you know what I'm saying, they was witnessing is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not making excuses for your grandma and granddad and nothing like that, because, you know, just to be honest, I never really wanted to be around my grandma, my father's mom, because I just felt her spirit being different than, you know what I'm saying, my mother's mother. Mm-hmm. You know, they had different spirits. My father's mother was a no-nonsense person. Like, if you did some shit, she gonna correct you real quick and might be popping you in your damn mouth. You know what I'm saying? You ate, you didn't drink nothing until you finished that food. Like, she was strict on her when you went over her house. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But my grandma was, you know, a sweetie pie. She didn't really care about that. Well, it seems that way on the outside. What you witnessed growing up was horrific.
Yeah. I mean, and I am a proponent for mental health. I think that it's so many people now that are dealing with psychological trauma that they have carried with them through mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. And nobody grows up to be mentally ill. Mm-hmm. You know, I think something happens to each and every one of us that some of us are strong enough to handle and some of us are not. And I think... No, I think so. I mean... You don't agree?
No. Mm. Because I think like you a very strong individual. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people couldn't.
That's what I'm saying.
No, but I'm saying a lot of people couldn't deal with you not because they were strong. They wasn't strong. A lot of people couldn't do what you do because they wasn't strong. They couldn't do what you do because their mindset would have been different than yours. Your mindset. No, I just feel like, you know, a lot of people couldn't go through your situation because their mindset was, you know, unfairity. And when you got that type of strong mindset that this is just unfair, you know what I'm saying? And I can't live like this. You break quicker. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? When you don't want to face that reality, your mind is going to give, because you can't not live in it. Mm-hmm. So your mind going to crack.
Yeah.
You was so low, like you were saying, that that was life for you. Mm-hmm. When you was growing up, when you was going through what you was going through, right?
Yeah.
You think about it now of what you felt back then.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things was beautiful about it, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Playing with your cousins, all y'all in the same little ass 3-bedroom house. It was what, 15 of y'all?
Yeah. This probably was normal, more right? than that, you know. So... You know, we had this, you know, grandmother had to ration out food and stuff, you mm-hmm. know. So, yeah.
You know, your granddad getting a big piece of chicken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he always ate first. Yeah, and he always had the most food.
Yeah, but all this stuff is, you know.
It was normal to us.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, like, you make fun of me because I had, I used to cut out like old milk cartons and any food, like, you know, leftovers or scraps.
Mind you, we don't have no dogs.
We would throw, my grandmother would throw, you know, the scraps in these milk cartons.
Instead of the garbage. At the time,
we did have a dog and she would feed that to the dog. But yeah, we did. Tarzan. And she would feed it to the dog.
Never
but
heard
after
of this
we
dog.
Got
this 20 years of marriage, this is the first time
I didn't mess with him. Okay. I didn't mess Dude, with the dog.
What was the purpose of you doing it? Why would you make you didn't have a dog?
It was common. It was we did it. It was just something that I saw that we did, and I just continued on doing it.
Okay.
Because my grandmother was like, if you throw food in the garbage, you're going to attract rats and mice. And she didn't want any of that. So that's what she would do. And me being a kid and growing up, it became normal in a sense. And that's what we would do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, everything, I think it's very important that, you know, our Congress, our pop, our legislators and stuff, that they really do take in effect, take in account having more funding for mental illness, you know, because it's so needed, you know, it really is. So
I want to go further into that. You know, when I used to ride around with my mom and everything like that, when I used to run, you know, ride around with my mom, I remember facilities like Tinley.
Yeah.
You know, Tinley Park mental mm-hmm. facility. You know what I'm saying? Chicago had a mental facility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lydia.
Yeah.
Was a mental facility. It's like, it's no more mental facility. Like, mental health just vanished.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they say they can't find funding, you know, for things and everything like that. But we make money. You know what I'm saying? We create money. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no, I understand what they try to create of the dollar worth of the dollar, what it's worth in Europe. I don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think for people to be homeless is total BS. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Because mostly people that's homeless is a mental illness. People mm-hmm. can say it's laziness. They ignorant. It's mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get yourself up in the morning to take yourself to work and continue to go to work to survive, that's a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't. You can't face the reality of just going to work for somebody and never gaining the success of your work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We all go to work every day doing something for a billionaire to make more money. But in all reality, if you give 110% to your job, you would never get paid or never get the credit of what you are doing there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Nowadays, jobs, it's about the connection with your boss. Sometimes it's about race.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes with promotions, it's about you knowing the right people
mm-hmm.
and everything. It's so many things that it's about until it gets to it's about your work. You get what I'm saying? If you're getting a promotion or anything at work and another guy been there 20 years, but he could be the quietest dude in the building, but he a hard worker. He does a lot of things correct. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you pass him over because he don't come and talk to no one and he's to himself mm-hmm. and he's kind of weird. But if he's the hard worker, promote him. He's the hard worker, period. But mm-hmm. that person gets passed over because he don't have the personality. It don't matter. This guy
to brown nose.
Yes, yeah. It's like if the guy can do the work, he can do it. And this is the society that they want people to grow up in, and it's very unfair. It's very ignorant, and it's very disrespectful for those who come in and do what they have to do to make that billionaire a trillionaire. So mm-hmm. it's, or the millionaire, a billionaire.
Yeah. Or the stock, the holders, shareholders,
money,
more richer. And yeah. you get chump change or the crumbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree with you.
It's just like your job. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's that we can go into details about that.
Yeah, we can go into details about yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can.
But we're not. Yeah. I mean, because, yeah, we could, you know. I mean, yeah, but that's going to go into another, that would lead yeah. into another topic. But, yeah. But, yeah, I think that, you know, I tell you each and every day, you know, people really need, it needs to be some type of overhaul with the legislation to provide people with
better health care.
Yeah. Adequate health care. I guess that's why I kind of got out of doing wanted to work in the healthcare. Because working in like a nursing home, just being a program activity assistant, a program aide or whatever, just to see people in the nursing home with the elderly that were young, but they had mental episodes, they had mental illness. It was crazy. You know, they was in there raping, you know, these elderly women, and it was just so bizarre to me, you know, because it's like they wasn't getting the help that they need. You know, they was just there because the mental facilities closed down and they had nowhere else to put them. So they just group them all into the nursing home with your geriatrics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so messed up. We could go on and on and on about it. But yeah, you know, we really need, as a society, we really need to band together and, you know, fight for us to have more adequate health care, and as well as have adequate mental health care, you know, because it's ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of going to piggyback on the next question going into this. It's like, I'm a supervisor at my job, and it's just like the youth don't want to really work.
Mm-hmm.
And when they working, they're very demanding.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know etiquette, in a sense, you know,
or
what
boundaries,
I'm saying?
In a sense.
Yeah, they definitely don't know boundaries, mm-hmm. and what to say and what not to say. You know, I got people calling in because they got warrants out for their arrest.
They actually telling you that?
Yes. It's just like, to me, it's like, dude, you this is your job. You finna lose your, you know, at least say, hey, you know, I'm sick, you know, get a doctor's note. You know, I understand people, well, why are you lying? But I wouldn't tell my job, hey, I got a warrant out for my arrest. Even if that's true, I'm not telling them that. It's not happening. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, if I got arrested and I'm in jail for something stupid I did, I wouldn't call my job and say, I'm locked up. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it. You know what I'm saying? I don't care if they're like, oh, you should disclose this to your job. You're going to lose your job anyway. I'm not telling my job.
Or you had a hangover.
Yes, that happened.
Hungover. It's like,
I got fucked up last night, man.
Like,
I cheated on my girl and
what?
I cheated on my girl and I don't got my phone in my car. She took it. Like, I had some stuff that really has happened. But it's just like the youth is crazy. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, I got another scenario. I had a guy that called off and was like, you know, I mean, no, he didn't call off. He was on the route. All right.
Mm-hmm.
It's 20 stops. All right. This dude's making some good money today.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls in, you know, he tells me he got 10 stops left and his tooth is hurting him.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And he can't take the pain.
Okay.
Can't take the pain.
All right.
My tooth hurting me.
Yeah.
Dude, just stop and go get some.
Some Ambisol or something.
Yes.
Something.
Get some pain, you know what I'm saying? And continue the route, you know? You know, oh, no, I mean, I can't do it. I can't do it. Can't do it. I'm like, dude. I'm like, you serious to come off the route for a toothache?
Yeah.
Then it's been hurting. It's been like this for months. Red flag, my guy. It's been like what? For what?
So
how long?
You never decided to go to the dentist to get a scene about or make an appointment?
He's new. He's a new guy that just got in. His health came for the activate for 90 days.
Yeah.
We both know this talking on the phone because I hired you.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So you don't
Why
have health care.
Say that then.
But I'm telling you, this dude don't have health care.
Okay.
So I'm like, dude, you sure you want to go to a dentist up there? I call a dentist. You can go on the clock, go see a dentist and get mm-hmm. your tooth looked. Mm-hmm. Pull that motherfucking or leave. No, man, I want to go see my auntie dentist. That's what the dude tell him. It's like, man, come on, just bring the stop back.
Okay.
So he tell me he got 10 stops. He did half of the route. Okay. This, I said, text me all your accounts that you didn't do.
Yeah.
He texted me 12. Like, dude, you just said you did half of the route. False flag. You already false flagging, dude. Like, now, okay, so now it's 10, right? Now it's 10 stars, went to 12 stars. Now I'm rekeying 12 stars.
Okay.
So I rekey to 12 stars.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then, after I rekey to 12 stars, he walks in. I tell him, come to the office and everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm, once again, I'm like, dude, you serious and all this? He's like, yeah, man, it's bothering me. This is this. Now, mind you, he's telling me everything. I've been like this for a month, this, this, and this. Now, if your teeth is fucking hurting you, you're not fit to be talking freely.
Oh, yeah, because the air
on your tooth is gonna be killing you.
Yes.
He don't got a frown. He ain't like, yeah, man, you don't.
Yeah.
It ain't. He talking to me normally.
He a terrible liar.
Yes. I'm like this motherfucker. So I'm like, okay. I said, listen, man, you gonna have to come back with. No, I said, not a doctor's note, a dentist's note, saying that, no, it's not. You got to come back with a dentist's note stating you got that tooth looked at.
Oh, okay.
You can't come back to me with no doctor's note. Okay. I don't want to see a doctor's note. I said, because if I see a doctor's note, I can send you out on another route and you can tell me your tooth hurt again. I don't want to go through this episode.
Okay. Understand, which is understandable.
Understandable, right?
That's the that's your company's rules.
You going to your auntie doctor?
Mm-hmm.
As I speak to him like, before you leave, yeah, I'm going to check out my auntie doctor.
Okay. So.
Later on that day. Later on that day, 3 hours, 4 hours later, he calls me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm going to just go to acute care.
What?
Yeah.
We need a sound machine.
Yeah. I said, acute care? I said, no.
For his tooth?
Yes. I said, no, we're not going to get a doctor's note saying acute care. I said, I'll see you Tuesday. Right?
Yes.
That's when his dentist appointment is Tuesday. I said, I'll see you Tuesday then. I'm not working you Friday or Monday.
Yeah.
I'll see you Tuesday after you get this tooth took care of.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He comes in to work Monday.
Mm-hmm.
No doctor's day. Dude, like, is he getting it? I said, is he getting it?
Mm-hmm.
So he calls RJ. RJ calls, tries to call me or whatever. I missed a call. And I call RJ back. He's like, hey, man. He's like, listen, the guy's standing in front of me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he don't have no... No to nothing.
Appointment, yeah.
No,
dentist
no.
Mm-hmm.
He don't got no note.
Oh.
For the doctor or nothing.
Bold.
He just came back to work.
Oh.
This is the young generation of way of thinking.
Yeah.
Now, I gave, you talked to me twice Thursday. You talked to me when you originally tried to call me and get off the route for the tooth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you called to me when you came in off the route with the toothache.
Mm-hmm.
Then you talk to me later on at 4 o'clock and I really iterate, you need a doctor's note.
Mm-hmm.
You show up Monday without neither to work.
You mean Tuesday?
Monday.
Oh. You told him you said to come back Tuesday after he had his appointment.
You catching it. He came back Monday with nothing.
Well, he has a hearing issue as well.
My guy said, hey, man, he can't, he here, he don't got nothing on him.
Mm-hmm.
He told me he can go get a doctor's note real quick. And come. I said, no doctor's note. I'm not the manager, but I'm like, no doctor's note. He needs to get a dentist note. He can't afford the dentist.
Okay, this dude on some BS.
I said, so at this point, I text him. I was like, what happened to your auntie?
Dentist
hookup. I can't afford it. What is going, me releasing you, what is that going to change?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
What's that for the change? Me releasing you with a doctor's statement. I just can't afford the dentist. When you came out the route, you knew you couldn't afford the dentist. If you lie, lie good enough.
Yeah.
So my thing is with these young people, and they thought, because this is the mentality of them right now, the story I just told.
Mm-hmm.
Like with that mentality, is crime.
Yeah.
Is crime gonna rise?
Yeah. They because gotta make money some kind of way. You gotta support yourself.
They don't care about the story they give you.
No, they
so
don't.
So what you think they care about?
Taking your life.
And robbing your ass.
Oh, wow.
You know, what does that matter?
You know, when you sit back and look at the bigger picture, everything that we're talking about correlates with the rise in violence. You know, mm-hmm. because a lot of these kids, and they grew up being either neglected or
yes.
given everything. And you have a lot of these young people that have that entitlement mindset.
I agree. I blame it first on the dads that's not being dads to their kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first off. But the biggest part for me, and women around the world is going to hate me,
yeah.
it's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
How many grandmas these days are grandmothers? Everybody want to be young and shake their booty and look hot.
You don't have time to be a grandma.
Ain't nobody grandma. Ain't nobody love you, baby.
Big
mama.
Can I kiss
you?
Big mama.
You know, love you. Try your best. Ain't none of that. It's like everybody, it's no support for kids. It's none. They have no true support system.
They have no true foundation or no true hierarchy. You know, they don't have that patriarch. You know what I'm saying? They don't have that what they call the grandmother matriarch.
Yeah.
They don't have that. They don't have that family structure.
No.
And it's you. And to be honest, you can't expect for them to say, "Hey, I'm gonna go out here and work a 9-to-5 job for 8 hours for 40 hours a week, bust my ass for minimum wage."
My mama,
or a little bit above minimum wage.
My mama's so materialistic and cares only about her looks and getting that BBL
mm-hmm.
and doing everything else than loving me. And the same for my dad. He up there fucking Shannon, Janin, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
He doing everything. I got brothers I don't even know about out here. Then trying to raise me.
Or they in jail.
Or yeah. Or the woman so bitter and don't want the kid to be around their mm-hmm. dad. Or, you know, the dad is a deadbeat. Or, you know what I'm saying? The dad remarried is with a woman that want him to spend all the time with her, the kids they got together. And the kid that she brought in the relationship with him. It's like, it's so much distraction on what we truly are here on this earth for, and that's to help each other. That's it. We're not here to be what we have became.
Yeah.
Nothing's beautiful no more. You can't even go, like right now it's a beautiful sunset. I could tell by the reflection on that house. It's a beautiful sunset. We don't take that moment and breathe what God has created.
No, we don't.
We don't respect it. Today we got up and we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, because how can we? We're in this. It's like we're brainwashed. We're like so, our eyes are, we're blinded by that. Or if we're not blinded by what we're being programmed to think and feel, we're being programmed to get up, go to work, rush,
yeah.
get up, go home, eat, sleep, go to bed, get up, go to work. You know, it's like you're constantly on the go. You're constantly moving. You're like a hamster in that wheel. And it's like you can't sit back and just enjoy just the beauty of what nature is and what God created. For me to sit here and look, I haven't, to be honest, I didn't even notice that until you pointed it out about the sunset. And that's sad because in my mind, deep in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about, okay, I know I need to get up, go eat something. I need to finish editing this other podcast. I need to go and upload it. I need to get ready to take a shower for bed. I got to get up and go to work tomorrow. I need to do this. I need to do. I'm thinking.
All the stuff you still have to do.
To do instead of just, you know what? It is what it is. Enjoy the moment. And I told myself when Elijah passed that I was going to do that. I was going to start enjoying the moment because I felt like I took that for granted.
We all do.
Yeah. And it's sad. And look, don't get me wrong. I understand to a degree the way some of these young kids think, the ones that have their head on their shoulders. Why should I work for this company, and they don't give a damn about me, and I'm barely making enough money to survive. I work 40 hours a week, and you might as well say you work more than 40 hours. You work 50 hours a week because you got to think about commuting, getting to work, yeah, and coming back. So yeah, you might tackle on 2 hours for that. And then on the weekend, you're too tired to enjoy the weekend and just enjoy, you know, just relaxing because you're getting ready. You're doing all your household chores and stuff and washing clothes and stuff. And you're getting ready to go back Monday and do it all over again. For what? You're not going to be appreciated. You're not going to get that promotion because they don't see the value in you, you know. I get how some of these young kids think. Why should I work for you when I can use my own God-given?
We've ruined them.
Yeah.
They don't. Young people don't.
Not all of them. I won't say all of them.
We ruined a lot of them.
But some of these kids are really, I think we have a really amazing young man in Isaiah. Because he will get up and bust his butt. He is looking. It's not all of the kids. You have your good bunch, you know.
But even with your son, do he believe in love? No. Because he sees what the world truly is.
We're talking about love. We're talking about working.
No. What I'm saying is the reason why the generation is in the state that there is because of what we have showed them.
Yeah, I get that. I agree.
Of what love is. We haven't showed them that. We haven't showed them. They mad at us because we allowed the world to be what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Since Martin Luther King, who fought for equal rights? Who fought for us to be together, to come together as one? Who fought for unity? I don't think what God created us, he thought about, okay, I'm going to make that person brown. I'm going to make that one white. I'm going to make that one, you know what I'm saying?
Black.
You know, Chinese. He didn't do Chinese. He didn't.
Yeah.
He created a person. And throughout these years, we created everything else. We created racism. We created division. Mm-hmm.
The hierarchy, the social hierarchy of the rich, the middle class.
Yes, we created all that.
Yeah.
We have destroyed the world with our thoughts and our intelligence.
Greed, too.
Greed.
That's all it is greed. Because you're right, there should not be any person homeless when it's so many... when this world has so many resources and it reproduces, no one should be homeless. No one should be hungry. Agreed. No one should be sick.
Agreed.
When the world is the earth is beautiful because it creates, it re, Look at the trees. Every fall, the leaves die off. And in the winter, the tree is dead. In the spring, it comes back to life. It rejuvenates. And then in the summer, you see the full bloom of its life. That's amazing. You know what I'm saying? That's God at its work. That's God at work. So we shouldn't be living the way we're living. No one should be feeling less than or have less than. Yeah.
Well, this is another episode.
Yes. Well, we're going to wrap this up because I think we have talked and I think we got a lot off our chest. So again, thank you for listening to another episode of Love Everyone Equally. We ask that you please like, share, rate, and support us.
Peace.